Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I feel like we've done this already.
I guess we should start this by saying...
issuing an apology.
For those who have gone through last week's valiantly.
You're the real MVPs.
We would like to apologize for the audio as it sounded last week. Hopefully it's sounding better to your ears right now.
I mean, there's only so much we can fix. We can't fix my voice. So I'm not going to apologize for that.
I feel like my voice was the one that sounded worse, according to...
Well, then you should apologize, then. What am I here for?
I don't remember who... Donut Pants. I don't remember what donut... Who's... He hated somebody's voice, specifically.
Pat, I think...
No, Pat was the one that defended Seamus. I don't remember the one that...
His name was Joel... His name was Joel Smells Like Burnt Nut Hair.
Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But... We want to say super special thank you to Heather for staying up and working on the audio. And
who?
Joel's wife.
Her? Oh, man, this is...
I occasionally was like, have we named her on this?
Yeah, we have. Specifically on this podcast where she was on
with
you.
Where she has been on.
Yes. Oh, man. Well, there was one good thing about all this, and that's like, this is probably the most... Either of us have laughed this week. It's been a rough one, you guys.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I'm just gonna...
Wrestling definitely took a backseat this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a wrestling podcast. I'm going to focus on wrestling.
Yes.
And I'm going to hope... All I'm going to say is I'm going to hope that WWE doesn't do anything or make any kind of statement where I can't watch WWE for a while.
You know, there was a thought I had yesterday. I'm honestly very surprised that WWE did not give our now president-elect a championship belt.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
If they do that, that's going to make you feel icky. I mean, he's already in their Hall of Fame.
I know.
They already have a relationship.
Yeah, I know, but if new...
And the McMahons are historically pretty Republican.
I know that. Yeah. And, there is some level of grin and bear. There is some level of separation between, entertainment and entertainer. There's a lot of stuff you can argue.
Separation between wrestling and state.
You can. But we might start talking about Lucha Underground a lot in the near future.
But the important thing is... Never TNA. I like how you didn't even be like, we're going to talk a lot about TNA now. No, we just skip that and bring down the Lucha.
So that's, yeah.
Or we could just talk about NXT and just pretend really, really hard.
So this week we had no pay-per-view to, we have no pay-per-view to preview.
We have
no pay-per-view to recap.
One of those rare instances that we're going to have now.
And actually, there has been talk of... They are looking at lowering their pay-per-view count for 2017 going forward.
Well, lowering in the terms of, like, the pattern they have now with the two shows, with SmackDown and Raw, the pattern that they're going on currently, they're thinking about, lessening their pay-per-view show rate that way.
Yes.
So... Not going down from 12 like we're normally, but going down from, like, what,
17? 17,
yeah.
At right now?
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I think goes without
saying.
I mean,
basically they saw that these increased shows isn't really doing anything to up the subscription rates.
I'm a little surprised that it happened this quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of expecting 2019,
2020. Put on more shows.
Right.
I mean, I'm still okay with them doing the... Because, I mean, so far it's done very well for SmackDown.
I think so, and I think theoretically, as the shows continue to grow and identify as two separate shows and as two separate rosters,
mm-hmm.
because it still feels like one big... It's not been long enough that mm-hmm. I'm not still feeling like these are WWE guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that, like, that's a Raw guy. That's a SmackDown guy. Even some of the more popular ones, I have to quickly, like, take the time to be like, all right, that one, yeah.
You have to replay the draft in your head.
Well, and it'll be like, this Sasha Banks Charlotte thing is probably ever. All right, who does Charlotte fight next? okay, who's on there? Like, I have to go, who are my choices now? Because I don't actually remember.
Yeah.
So, but I was kind of thinking about, like, all right, so what is the ideal amount of wrestling? Because one of the biggest problems with this copious amount is we were basically getting, in our right now, we're getting a pay-per-view every other week.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, getting dangerously close to the number of episodes of a show that we have, you know? Yeah. And that just, it devalues, it's like these, it feels like I'm, you know, the pay-per-views are the weekly show now.
Yeah, I mean,
makes the weekly show even lower on the totem pole.
So what should we do as far as brand split? Just do, like, Raw and SmackDown conjoined pay-per-views, or what?
There are five pay-per-views that should be...
Conjoined. And those are the big four in Money in the Bank.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
As far as brand-specific pay-per-views, at some point, I feel like these are going to be called network specials and not pay-per-views.
Sure. No, absolutely.
I don't know how many of these pay-per-views you can still get on pay-per-view.
I assume all of them. I don't know, because, like, there was talk before all this kind of started that, you know, the SmackDown pay-per-views would be network only. But
yeah,
they're still calling them pay-per-views, so I don't know. I honestly, like, I haven't even looked into
the network. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And you got to think about, like, okay, so what about Netflix special or not NXT specials? Sorry.
Yeah.
And if they continue to do these glorified house shows with Beast in the East and Madison Square Garden,
because I think they're still planning on doing that.
They are planning on it. Last I've heard, they've not done one in a very long
time. No, they haven't done
one. Roadblock was the last one.
No, they've done. There was a Madison Square Garden one with, like, Brock versus, like, Big Show, I think.
But that was before
Roadblock?
Yeah, because that was in October of last year.
Oh, it was. Okay.
With the whole Brock's Road to Hell thing.
That's right. Yeah. No, they haven't really done one with Roadblock. I mean, because Roadblock wasn't, like, Roadblock, honestly, was probably the best one they've done.
It was.
And the main event helped.
And part of that, though, was they pretended that Roadblock was a pay-per-view and everything.
Yeah.
You know, but
it wasn't, like, because, you know, the one in last October was just a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from the NXT Championship, the Beast in the East thing was a standalone as well.
Yeah.
Just threw, you know, Brock just threw Kofi around.
Yeah, that, I remember that.
So, I don't know. I'm honestly with the two pay per views per month, I'm okay with just doing that and not even doing the glorified house shows.
Yeah, I agree with that,
because it's kind of, it's taken away the need for it.
Yeah, with two pay per views a month, and especially NXT things.
Mm. So maybe that's what they're talking about as far as cutting down.
Would be fine with that.
But then again, they might be calling one of the new SmackDown pay-per-views Roadblock anyway, since they own the property.
Yeah. Well, so if you have five already, you have 12 months in the year.
Okay.
And so then you have, how many is that? That's seven left for exclusives.
Right.
So I would say three SmackDown, four Raw exclusives.
Right.
Is how that would end up getting
chopped
split
up. Yeah.
I would rather it be three of each, and then once a year, NXT 3-hour mega show, basically giving NXT its own WrestleMania.
Okay.
Because NXT's biggest things are intrinsically tied to a bigger thing. They had the WrestleMania show ahead of time. Their SummerSlam.
Yep.
Ahead of time show in Brooklyn.
Mm.
I would be interested in seeing NXT get a NXT's WrestleMania kind of show.
Like the same weekend of WrestleMania?
No. A not attached to anything main roster. But if you're doing 12.
Kind of like how they do, like, the takeovers at Full Sail on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Okay.
So you have 12 pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Five of them are shared by the brands. So then six of them are brand exclusive, three for Raw, three for SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves you with one left.
Okay.
So with that one left, I would give it to NXT.
Okay.
I'd give it to NXT and just be like, NXT, this is your WrestleMania.
Right. I mean, I'm assuming they're still having their like other TakeOver specials.
Yeah.
Okay.
But TakeOver specials are as much as we love them, and as much as talent-wise and quality-wise, there's an argument for them being the big main show.
Right.
They are not. They are not the big main hoopla pizzazz
right.
show of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see something where they are.
Like a Sunday night pay-per-view
Sunday
style.
Night live NXT.
Okay.
We are building up to this for 3 months
mm-hmm.
level of kind of thing.
Okay.
So I would like to see them have a, you know, probably not a Royal Rumble because that's a little too on the nose, but like, yeah, 2 months, 2.5 months before NXT Mania, whatever it's called, we have.
And see, and that's something, I'm not just throwing this out, but that's something, because I'm assuming they're probably going to do an NXT takeover next to Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I would suspect that.
I would like to see, like, you know, the day before have, like, some big match, whatever, and the stipulation or the reward for winning the match would be a spot in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like that. I don't know how, like, you know, you would be tempted to do it like just a regular battle royal, but I don't know. I mean, because you know, Raw has had in the past like Royal Rumble qualifying battle royal matches.
Yeah,
and it's like five people or whatever.
I.
Doing a tournament in one night might be a bit much, especially since they've got to do the Rumble the next day.
I would like to. I'm ready for a new type of match. I feel like Money in the Bank is the last time we got that. Where somebody, you know, do you know what I'm
There's
asking
the,
for?
There's the championship scramble. I think that came after Money in the Bank.
Yeah, how about that, dude?
Brian Kendrick was WWE champion for like 30 seconds.
I totally get that I'm asking for, like, make me entertain me.
Right.
Like, I don't have a real, like, they should do this with these rules and these stipulations.
Mm.
But I feel like I am ready for a new something.
Okay.
To get people qualified to kick off feuds, to start stuff.
Yeah.
Because something always starts at Money in the Bank. Something starts at Royal Rumble. And then it's Battle Royals.
Yeah.
Let's throw one of those in there.
Fatal Five Ways. They've been doing a few of those lately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but like, if they're going to, let's just go ahead and do a Fatal 15 way. Like, if you're already, you know, headed in that direction, it's like watching commercials for razor blades where they're like, this time, five blades for the closest
right.
shave ever.
Yeah.
But wait. Six blades.
Sure. Now I'm just trying to think of like newer matches or newer stipulations or newer type matches. I mean, there was a Kiss My Arse match.
Yeah, that's not what I'm asking for. Let me be clear. That is not what I'm asking for.
I wonder if that's Sheamus specific.
Well, Money in the Bank. Elimination Chamber is another example where, okay, they have a reason that, you know, these guys are hanging out. And there's a lot of, like, we could really sit down and break down, okay, this is what they should do. I don't want to do that right now.
Right.
But I just want to say that I'd like to see something interesting but gimmicky and admittedly gimmicky. But I'm ready to see something new, gimmicky, that works.
Yeah.
I feel like we have not gotten that in a good long while.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. Is there really anything on Raw? It feels like it was a lifetime ago.
Raw continued to build up to Survivor Series.
Yeah, they added more names to the women's team.
Yes.
Which
basically the rest of the women's roster.
Because, if they put Alicia Fox on there, yeah, that's why. And then who was the last person? I forget.
I don't remember. Charlotte's on there.
Charlotte. Bailey.
Bailey's on there.
Sasha was the last one. There. Yeah. Sasha was the last one. That's.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then.
Okay.
I mean, then the men added Seth, but I felt like that was a duh.
Yeah. So we got into my grumblings a couple weeks ago about my general disdain for brand versus brand.
Yeah.
Stipulation
and
matches.
Now they're kind of making it a whole pay-per-view wide thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to do it, Survivor Series kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. With the traditional Survivor Series match.
I think some of it is these rosters have not been apart long enough
mm-hmm.
for me to feel like this is a special
occasion.
Sure,
maybe you might feel differently next year.
I might.
And I'm
willing to be open to that.
Sure. And they did add a few, because now they've got, first of all, Goldust and R-Truth are no longer in the tag team mm-hmm. team for Raw. Instead, we get the Shining Stars because we weren't necessarily clamoring for Golden Truth, but we're definitely not clamoring for Shining Stars.
What is the opposite of clamoring? Like unclamoring? Declamoring? Anti-clamoring?
Clammed up? We're clammed up for our Truth and Goldust. And then they've also said that Sami Zayn will be going up against, we'll be representing Raw to go up against Ziggler.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is, because I believe we talked about last week how they're going to do the new Cruiserweight show, 205 Live. But they added onto the whole feel of Survivor Series of Raw versus SmackDown. Representing Raw, you know, your Cruiserweight champion, Brian Kendrick, will be going up against SmackDown's Kalisto for the Cruiserweight Championship, and they added...
And for the entire Cruiserweight division.
Right. If Kalisto wins, SmackDown gets the Cruiserweight division.
Yes.
And I feel like that is their way to move it over, because 205 Live is airing live immediately after SmackDown on the network. So, I don't want to say it's telegraphed, but...
But I know who I'm picking in the open.
Yes, same here. Because again, like it makes sense for Kalisto to be in the Cruiserweight division.
Yes,
and maybe that's how they make it happen.
And I get why they're doing this, and I do.
And honestly, I feel like SmackDown would probably do a better job.
Yeah,
that would be the only thing. Maybe I don't know. Maybe that they'll leave the Cruiserweights on 205 Live exclusively. That way SmackDown can still have their regular 2 hours. Although I would eventually like to see some of the Cruiserweights interact with anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to see matches of really anyone in the Cruiserweight division against anyone on the main roster. You know?
I get why they're doing this, and I like that there is a story for why this whole division is going to up and move.
Right.
Shows. So I like that they are taking time to work this into, like,
work
stipulation
into
and storyline. But in kayfabe, this sets a weird and dangerous precedent.
Right. Yeah. Like the women's division or the tag team division.
Yeah.
Then again, they've made their own belts.
So why can't the Raw Cruiserweights
their own belts? So why can't Miz go to Raw if the Intercontinental Championship goes there? Because that's clearly the only championship he cares about, you know?
Or just go to Raw and make himself a new Intercontinental Championship.
Although Daniel Bryan did say on Talking Smack that he'll gladly trade Miz for Cesaro.
Yeah, I'd be about that.
I would be okay with that as well. I'm okay with this for a variety of reasons, because I don't know how far in advance they had this idea for 205 Live.
Yeah.
But something clearly wasn't clicking on Raw with the Cruiserweights in its current, you know, fashion. Now they've gone back, they kind of like backtrack and said, oh, we'll have 205 Live, and don't worry, we'll still have SmackDown here on Raw, like, as well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was probably just done to kind of show a little bit of, you know, we're not telegraphing this at all kind of thing.
Right.
So I'm okay with them getting their own hour. You know, that way we can have multiple feuds, and you could justify having so many people in this division.
Yeah.
Because even, like, the six people, the six cruiserweights, the same six we've been seeing every single... Even that feels crowded if it's just for one championship and that's the only real storyline going on.
Right.
So, I'm okay. I'm okay with it.
No, I'm okay with it. We discussed my talking smack Fallout issues, but that aside, I'm okay with the fact that, like, okay, here's here's a cruiserweight show again, like the classic.
I wonder if cruiserweight's going to have their own commissioner.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of who that would be, like...
It could be Daniel Bryan.
Right? It could still be Daniel Bryan. I feel like they would want... I don't know.
Well, I mean, Daniel Bryan would, I guess, technically make more sense for a cruiserweight.
I came up with a great idea just now. A cruiserweight, also recently signed to WWE, probably more as a producer more than anything else, Ho-Ho Loon. Your new cruiserweight commissioner. He can make all the goofy faces he wants outside of the ring.
I think what didn't work about this was that the cruiserweight matches somehow became the bathroom break matches.
Yeah.
And we used to talk about, like, and not just us, it was a constant running thing. Divas matches are bathroom matches. And so that was always pointed as a fault of the Divas division.
Right.
Because
most of those Diva matches were just put these two up against each other. There's no real...
Right.
No real build-up, no backlash from it afterwards. Just kind of a standalone thing.
But that's
what a lot of these cruiserweight matches feel like.
So
yeah,
so when that purple rope comes out, there's a lot of like, all right, I'm good. You know, I'll check in later.
It's a subconscious thing. Now when we see purple ropes, we're like, I suddenly have to pee all, you know, just out of nowhere.
And I think what that is comes down to a fundamental difference between a TV show like Raw and an event like WrestleMania or SummerSlam or whatever you want to call it. We have wrestling walks this weird line between entertainment and sport.
Yeah.
And so things like WrestleMania, things like SummerSlam, these are events. It needs to play out like a sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to have things that the guys are, rules that everyone's following. That's kind of what, and it's obviously telling a story, but any good sports game is also telling a story, just a real life one.
Right.
And so these big things, these Survivor Series, et cetera, are sporting events, but Raw and SmackDown are TV shows.
Right.
And forward momentum needs to be made in a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you have a dead TV show, especially the way TV works now.
Right.
You need constant forward momentum in these storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And there just wasn't that for the Cruiserweight.
No. Like you're saying, the pay-per-views can be its own standalone thing.
Right.
You know, self-contained. Or, like, this is where everything ends. We have a definite stopping point or whatever. Whereas the show, especially since it's always happening, always moving on, it needs to have something to continue, like, to feed the beast almost, you know?
Well, with the Cruiserweight Classic, they had this tournament. So every match was continually moving forward the plot
right.
of the tournament.
Because it had this this ultimate, you know, endpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no... And I'm not like, you know, saying it's the wrestler's fault, because I really don't think it is. But there's just nothing for them to really fight for, except for this Cruiserweight Championship, which only two guys, now three guys, have only gone after.
So you have this handful of guys that it feels like they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're untalented. It's not that, you know, they don't want to be doing anything.
With more guys, like, down the pipeline.
Right.
You know, we got Noam Dar, who made his Raw debut. Which I think, you know, doing in Scotland was an amazing idea, because he got probably a better response on their Raw debut than really any of the other cruiserweights did. Because, you know, that crowd was excited about their, you know, hometown guy. Whereas when everyone else debuted, you know, most of them probably being kids and not really knowing what the cruiserweight, you know, tournament was, you know?
Yeah.
So
I agree with you there. I would like to see with 205 Live that forward momentum returning.
Beginning.
And I don't know if they will have, because they have one title, and I'm assuming they're going to continue to have one title. They're not going to get
cruiserweight tag teams or anything like that.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I'm expecting. Like, yeah, I can be proven wrong.
Sure,
I was not expecting the number of new belts to happen when the brand split happened. But assuming that they continue with one cruiserweight title that all these guys are theoretically chasing, you will get one cruiserweight match on every SmackDown, probably pay-per-view. They're not going to get their own pay-per-view.
Right.
So probably they'll get lumped in with SmackDown. By your next SmackDown, maybe probably not TLC, but in the very near future, you should have cultivated enough storylines that don't involve the title.
Yeah.
And by enough storylines, I really mean one storyline. Like,
right, yeah, okay.
Well, because they're still going to be on, they're going to be on the SmackDown roster in this hypothetical future. It's, you know, going down, fitting in matches on the card. If they have the Cruiserweight title match and a Cruiserweight grudge match between guys who don't like each other.
Sure.
That feels like a huge, there's two matches and that's it. Because there's only eight matches total. So, like, here's 25% of your roster.
Right.
Is these two matches. So it'll feel like Cruiserweight's getting involved real fast and in a big bad way.
Sure. And then they can always throw in like a Cruiserweight tag team match or something on a kickoff show or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So you involve more people.
I want to address the McMahon kids real quick.
Oh, right, yeah.
So there have been complaints online, because, man, don't they like complaining.
Oh, sure.
There have been complaints about the McMahons being inserted into storylines.
Sure.
Storylines they have no business being in, being the unspoken but well-known, you know, framing device of that complaint.
Right.
So I want to go to Stephanie first.
Okay.
Stephanie tonight, not tonight, this week, had, by and large, maintained her advisory role or her authority role. There was some complaints about how mean, I guess, she was to Sami Zayn. That went too far and that hurts Sami Zayn as a build-up character.
Right.
Which I disagree with. I think this is the way Stephanie was used on Monday. If you're going to insist on using Stephanie, that's about the best way you can do it to me.
Sure. Yeah.
But also then Shane.
Yeah. He's in the SmackDown Survivor Series team.
Then Shane.
Yeah.
Now,
granted, they framed it to where it was Daniel Bryan who was the one who put him in there.
Right.
You know, because they wanted the... I mean, granted, like, they just announced, like, you know, the crowd loves Shane, so of course they're going to cheer for him getting added. But when you look at the SmackDown roster, because, you know, that was the thing. He had the whole list. All of these, you know, trained...
Wrestlers
yeah. on your roster. You pick the boss, you know?
So this one's a little harder to be like, no, they got it. Because, do they now?
Nah, I mean, in Shane, you've got a guy who's willing to do anything. But his number one talent is getting beaten up. He's not known for winning matches. Let me put it that way.
Him to do anything. Like, there's nothing like, man, I wish Shane could still go, because then I get to see da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
I feel like the main da-da-da-da-da's, I've seen, like, the cell was the last one.
Sure.
It was like, come to the cell so I can check off that box.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wonder if the commentators were on that list. And also, let me just one quick side effect. Or side, kind of side effect. One
okay.
quick side comment.
Go for it.
Do we really need 4 commentators on SmackDown? Like, do you really need... I mean, granted, I think Tom Phillips is a great commentator.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily need David Otunga at all.
I will say, David Otunga... He's the most nothing, isn't he?
He is the most nothing. It's like they were wanting to go like a Byron Saxton effect with him, like mm-hmm. you know the like as far as like a face commentator. He's not getting it done.
Well, like
he's very like hit the way like just his references. He's not convincing when he's excited about anything. He seems like he's phoning it all in.
I feel like I have a lot of strong opinions about a lot of these guys one way or the other. You know?
And you feel nothing for Otunga?
Do you?
Like I said, I could just do without him.
And
he's
and,
not... He's unnecessary.
And because it's a 4 table, you know...
Or 4 commentator table.
Yeah. I feel like when I watch it, I feel like I'm watching a 3 commentator table. And like, yeah. and that's not to say that
maybe
David is too quiet and just
yeah.
speak up more, because he does say a lot of stuff in that.
The only other thing I can really, point to is maybe they're phasing out Morrow, because he's going to be doing commentating for 205 Live
uh-huh.
with Corey Graves.
Right.
But then Corey Graves is also still doing his Raw commentating, so that's not really fair to Morrow. Because I really like Morrow on SmackDown, but I also liked him on Cruiserweights. And I was like, can't the guy just pull a double? Like, come on. That's the only explanation I could really come up with. Unless they are getting rid of David Otunga and they just haven't told him yet. So we're going to like 5... Because he did it, like the table wasn't even long enough for him.
Right.
He looked like he was just there to... provide, like, he looked like he was, you know, just The Miz doing, you know, guest commentary.
He looks like guest commentary.
Right.
And then they have guest commentary. You're like, this is so crowded.
Right.
Do you have more stuff to say about Shane?
Oh, no, not really.
We found out today that there will be a ESPN 30 for 30 documentary
yes.
on the XFL.
It'll be premiering in February. I don't
Do
know
if we have a premiere date for the Ric Flair one yet.
That I don't know, but I felt like I was the XFL one on your radar at all before. Like I heard about it a couple days ago because they said it was going to be they premiered it at a movie theater,
mm-hmm.
Probably just for awards purposes. But today they said it was going to happen in February. So I don't know if this is something that's just not as well publicized like the Ric Flair one.
I feel like,
but the Ric Flair one seems like it's been, you know, going on longer.
Yeah. Once it was mentioned, I think either today or yesterday to me that there would be a 30 for 30 on XFL.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happened, it was like, oh yeah, I've either heard about that.
Yeah.
Or thought about it on my own and convinced myself it was such a good idea.
Yeah.
That now I have false memories of hearing
yeah.
that they should make this.
And WWE actually acknowledged it. Like they kind of advertised a little bit on their Instagram.
That's
like that feels
very
weird.
Interesting.
Cause usually the XFL is just something that they don't talk about.
I'll say this is going down as one of Vince's greatest failures.
Right.
Which, you know.
And I mean, granted, like, ESPN has been such a partner with WWE
yeah.
these last few months. So I don't know if WWE's had any involvement or any participation.
I think they got some higher ups talking heads, maybe even Vince.
I mean, I would hope so. You know, granted, okay, there was also that 30 for 30 for, the other quote-unquote pro football league that they tried to start.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember what, it was the one that, the Hall of Fame quarterback for the Bills. I can't think of his name right now. He was originally drafted by the Bills. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to like play his pro career in, you know, cold Buffalo.
Right.
So he went to this other football league. Was their like MVP for a few years. Then finally like that caved and he came over. Apparently, you know, the main driving force behind all of that, and ultimately the person, you know, the one individual that kind of put the death nail in that particular football league, was our president-elect. Interesting. All comes around. So,
XML.
But my point there was, there wasn't a whole lot of participation
right
in that documentary. Like, there was some players, but no, they didn't have, like, Donald Trump on there talking about it, because I'm assuming that's not something he wants to talk about, because it was a failure. So I don't know how... And until I see a trailer with Vince on it, like, talking, giving an interview, being a talking head...
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and say he's probably not involved.
I will say that XFL is one thing that, like, I feel like 33 should have covered.
Oh, yeah. Because it was like, only lasted one season. It was just such a weird thing.
Yeah.
But led to a lot of the things that they did in the XFL are now done in the NFL. But it was done there first, you know?
So I'm very much looking forward to this.
Yeah,
I'm assuming you are as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'm probably looking more forward to this than I am the Ric Flair one, because I know Ric Flair's history.
I know Ric Flair's story, and a nice, good, solid third party, not WWE documentary
yes.
of Ric Flair is going to be really good, really
yes.
great. I'll get
because ESPN, they, you know, these 30 for 30s are pretty amazing.
They are
like, oh, there's so many of those that I've watched that the subject matter isn't something that I'm necessarily like interested in. It's just something on Netflix that I saw one mm-hmm. time. So I hit play and I end up getting really like into it.
Well, with the Ric Flair thing, I feel like with WWE Ric Flair, there's going to be like this, you know. And then WWE discovered previously unknown talent Ric Flair just in time for WrestleMania 8.
Right, yeah. Which isn't the case, not even close. So yeah, like a more objective look at his career, not like sugarcoating everything as far as WWE related, but
right.
everything else.
So I am very much looking forward to that. I would like to see... I like that it looks like these protective walls are starting to crumble.
Right.
Between
right. I mean,
what WWE holds on to and
right.
wants to never release.
And, you know, clearly this is, you know, the side effect of, you know, kind of the curtain being pulled back more and more.
Yeah.
As we go. But I feel like, you know, we're the ones benefiting from it.
Mm-hmm.
Still hoping for that Undertaker documentary one day.
It will come. I genuinely believe it will come.
With or without him.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll talking head it.
Yeah.
But I think it will come.
Yeah. I really hope so as well. The NXT TakeOver card is starting to shape up some.
Yeah.
They've like already determined the two teams that are going to fight for the Dusty Cup. It's going to be TM61 against Authors of Pain, and they've already said that Paul Ellering is banned from ringside, so there's that.
Okay.
Which feels like that sets up a TM61 win, even though Authors of Pain have never lost.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. They've also announced that there's going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match between #DIY and Revival. You know, so that's obviously
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's going to be the end of their feud.
Yeah,
probably.
I hope so.
Probably ending up with somebody turning on someone else at the end, and I wouldn't be sad if that. I know they have to lose the championship and everything, but I'm okay with Revival moving on. Probably, hopefully, to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like they need another tag team. Even though Raw is the one that has the shining stars on the team, I still feel like SmackDown's tag team is still thinner.
SmackDown is in this weird spot where it both simultaneously seems like the better show and the show that needs the most help.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I gotta say, like, hindsight 2020 kind of thing, but that 2 to 3 thing during the draft to Raw gets 3 for every SmackDown 2. Did more harm than good.
Yeah.
At least as far as you know, what you're seeing goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there was something else that I'm not quite remembering.
For NXT?
Yes.
Or just in general?
Or just in general as well. Shawn Michaels is the new guy in charge at the Performance Center. I don't know what the... Apparently he's taking... Or he's taking over for Terry Taylor.
Okay.
I don't know if Terry Taylor's doing something else or he's just taking time off or what. But Sean is the head of the Performance Center. A lot of people got confused with that. Like, you know, Matt Bloom, or Tensai or Albert or whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. He's still the head coach.
Okay.
So that hasn't changed. It's just Shawn Michaels is the main guy at Performance Center. And I feel like that is hugely beneficial to the future of WWE.
I am very excited for a whole new generation of guys and gals who cite Shawn Michaels as their inspiration and their teacher.
Yeah. There's going to be so many people like, oh, you know, so-and-so, they were taught by Shawn Michaels. I'm like, yeah, so was everyone. You think you're special? No.
We also should mention something else. I'm completely
out of my head. We also should mention something else, Joe. That's a great point. That is a great point. Okay. Did you get a chance, possibly, to hear my segment with Blair? Was there anything you wanted to add on to that?
I have not heard all of it, so I want to abstain from doing mega critique on it.
Hashtag Joel doesn't live to this. And take two. Hashtag Chris can't talk.
Hashtag
Joel can't listen.
So, I will say, when you pitched this as a concept, I'm like, that's going to be a nice little 10-minute video.
And see, that was the thing, like, because I told Blair. And then,
I felt like you I were told on the Blair, same page with like, this would be a nice little 10-minute video.
I told Blair, like, at the beginning, he was like, you know, how long are we going to go? I was like, let's try to keep it to 20 minutes. And the more he talked, it was like, I kept thinking, I was like, all this sounds like pretty good information that I would want to include.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the things that I don't think we could have put, I don't think there was any way we could have fit it in 20 minutes.
Apparently the law is complicated.
No kidding.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk? Hey, Joel.
Yeah.
I know it's a bit of a stretch this week.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything making you happy at all?
Yeah, I was I was thinking about it driving home from work today, and I was like, we're going to need to ramp up this segment.
Yeah.
This is going to be a hardcore every week segment.
Because I don't think I've retracted what I said a few weeks ago about the dog. I'm no longer getting the dog. So there's that bit of awfulness as well on top of how we're feeling this week.
So, personal excitement?
Sure.
I'm in a show right now, Little Shop of Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
It's going up tomorrow. If you're in the area, come see it. I'm assuming most of you guys aren't.
And those of you who are, who happen to also listen, they probably know.
They probably know.
Yeah.
I am in it very little, but it is a bucket show for me. It's like the show that I was like, oh, live theater, I like this.
Someone also call it a bucket list, not just a bucket show.
No, bucket shows are if you audition, they're like, we'd like you to play a bucket. You're like,
oh,
done,
okay. I thought you were making a bucket list reference. I don't do theater.
So the Little Shop of Horrors is the thing where I was like, live theater, like I guess I like this. And without that, I would not like wrestling, because wrestling, my initial draw into wrestling, especially mm-hmm. draw back into wrestling after
right.
the whole many, many year break, was, oh, this is live theater. This is live theater with a heavy emphasis on stage combat.
Right.
I see what we're going for here.
Yeah.
And I can get behind them for these reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll slip into like, oh, it's also making wrestling happy because the origin, the seed of my love for wrestling planted way back when is now sprouting.
Okay, sure. You need some sleep.
Sure.
I have no ties really to wrestling that I can think of, but my Cubs World Series t-shirt and hat came into the mail today. And yes, I am wearing it right now. Both of them.
All right. You get three more weeks.
I get three more weeks of milking this 108-year celebration. Yep. Mm-hmm. Fitting 108 years in three, well, it'll be five now. Counting this week and last week.
It wasn't 108 years for you, was it?
Okay, but I feel like, I still feel like 28 years grants me more than 5 weeks total.
It's endearing for 5 weeks. It's, oh, look at them. They're so happy for 5 weeks.
If the Rays ever win a World Series, I'll gladly give you more than 5 weeks.
I don't think I need it.
That's because you're not as big of a fan of this as I am. I think
after 5 weeks, it's like...
You're not that big You are not that big of a fan of anything sports-related. Mm-hmm. You have your favorites, but...
Yeah, I think after 5 weeks, it's... All right, come on. Like something else now. Like, and
I'll be like, what else do I have?
And like, and if you like,
no one wants me to talk about hockey.
I don't want to extinguish the joy in your heart.
Okay, like you don't have any qualms about that. Usually,
be as happy and as excited. Okay. As you want to be about this wonderful thing. Okay. Maybe just don't share.
I do have one thing that I do want to bring up real quick. Okay. This weekend, some of you guys know about the Extra Life. It's a great. Yearly thing. It's mostly, you know, marathoning video games to raise money for a great cause. Overall, it's just to, you know, raise money for children's hospitals around the country, and then, you know, specific groups or specific people that are streaming and doing this marathon can specifically pick a hospital. I'm picking Duke's Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is just to raise $100 in 24 hours. So if you want more information on that, just find us on Facebook. We'll go through all the plugs here in a minute. Yeah. Tweet us. If you happen to know my personal accounts as far as Facebook or Twitter, probably Twitter, just send me a tweet or anything. I'll gladly give you all the information. That's happening this Saturday. I'm going to be live streaming me being awful at video games from 9 in the morning this Saturday, all these are Eastern times, 9 in the morning on Saturday till 9 in the morning on Sunday. Joel will also be appearing.
Join for parts of it.
But you also have your show starting this weekend. So
it starts the day after opening night. So I will show up when I wake up.
There will be a small intermission because there is a prior engagement that I've already previously said I was going to be. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a smaller intermission. But after that, we will have other people that you've heard on the podcast before. Neil will be there. You know, the guy who I do all these video games videos with anyway. He'll be there. Jason will be there, and maybe others. Maybe Beardsley. He did say at one point he'd be interested in it, but we don't know because it's Beardsley.
So yeah, check that out. Yep. It'll be a lot of fun and good causes and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
That's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at @CRAttire, where we live tweet Mondays, some Tuesdays. I've live tweeted on a Tuesday before. We hit the Sundays really well. I'm really pleased with
what our Sunday on input. Sundays recently. Yeah.
Like we're really getting the Sundays going. But most of our wrestling related tweets go through at @CRAttire, so follow us there.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring on the show, if you want information on Extra Life, you can also send an email to us, and that is classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, easiest way to follow the podcast. You get a new episode every week right to your computer or other listening device. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or you can write a review. That kind of interaction helps out our podcast on iTunes as far as metrics go.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Figure out what other kind of things we're working on. Video games, for example.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.